Jesus Christ is unique and living inside of us, and because of that, we now are something different. We are new creations. We are empowered by His Spirit, and in that, our lives can't help but be different. And so one of the challenges I want to continue to make in this series is, are you living differently? Because if you are not, then that is a direct indication of where Christ is in your life. That's a hard word for some of you. Good. We need more hard words in the church. And so this first word is, are you even living any differently than anyone else who does not know Jesus? And we're going to start with that. The second thing I want to open with is, grace and peace to you. Huh? You remember that from last week? That word has just been living inside of me, and it has been good. To be a people who are extending grace and peace and to receive grace and peace, I hope that continues to ponder in you. This series, Something Different, is us going verse by verse through the book of 1 Thessalonians. And so with that, let's open up to Acts 16. Go with me. Three chuckles. Thank you. Thank you for paying attention. Have you ever had one of those days? Acts 16, you need a Bible. There's Bibles there. We are going verse by verse, and so it is helpful for you to be in the same wording and words that we are pondering. Acts 16, have you ever had those moments where, I don't know, you are putting Christmas bins up in the attic, your wife's about to head to a prayer service, you say, give me 2 minutes, I'll be right down, and then you kind of are walking in your attic and you misstep and you catch yourself misstepping because there was a board where you thought there was, and you set the bins down and you come downstairs and you walk into a pillar of dust and you are like, what just happened? And you go around the corner and your ceiling is no longer there. And in this time you look and you're wondering, why is everything black ash everywhere? And this stuff called vermiculite is like funneling, you know, just down, and you're like, it's not a good night all of a sudden. You know, it went from a decent day to all of a sudden, this is going to change the whole week, and you go and you tell your wife, I know you love Jesus, but the devil's working really hard tonight, and you can't go. Anyone have those moments where he's not here so we can talk about him, Levi, where you're just driving and you just, like, hit a deer or something, you know, and it's like, the day's going fine, and all of a sudden your truck is not the same truck, or your younger brother takes orange spray paint and sprays your tire, or Levi is, if you don't know Levi, he's got great stories, because, and he just, they just fall out of him, but one that isn't his, it's his brother's, he comes home from work, and he's like, flip the truck today, and Levi's like, you what? The shop truck. What do you mean you flipped it? Like it went upside down and it's totaled. Those are bad days, aren't they? Anyone here have a bad day like that? I call those days where everything just seems to be raining down. It does not. I mean, it catches you off guard and you're like, what just happened? I mean, we could take this a more serious route and we can go to like health issues and loss of family, but I'm just talking about just the nitty-gritty. Well, that's the wrong wording because we got a meeting called that, but I'm talking about the day-to-day out-of-nowhere curveballs where you have to respond completely differently because the elements just created something that you were not ready for. Have you had a day like that? Anyone? Thank you. Okay, because if you have, this message is for you, and if you haven't, it's coming. It will come. You may lie, I don't know what you're talking about. It could be today, it could be tomorrow, it could be in 5 years, but let me tell you, there will be a day where all of a sudden you're like, what just happened? That's where I want to enter this morning. And so in Acts 16, we have a great, great account here. Let's start in verse 6. You ready? We need life in here. So Brandon's usually yelling at me. You can't hear him, but he's like, and talking to me, throws me way off. I'm not sure if like I'm going to miss that this morning or if we're going to be flowing really well, but here we go. Feel free to talk back at me. Verse 6. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. Now, during the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God has called us to preach the gospel to them. Now, in this first little part, this is the question I have for you. Have you ever wondered or wanted to know what God wanted you to do with your life? Anyone? I've been there. And here we have Paul and his companions, and they're like trying to follow the Spirit, and they're like, here, we should go this way. And God's like, nope. And they're like, oh, God, we want to serve you. We would go this way. And the Spirit of Jesus says, nope. And then in the middle of the night, Paul has this vision of a man. Come to Macedonia. This is how I picture it. I mean, I don't know about you, but I got the angel doing one of these, you know. And Paul, obviously, because those dreams just make so much sense, concludes that they're supposed to go to Macedonia. I'm thinking, why doesn't that happen to me? I mean, it kind of did. Like, God, I didn't have a vision of anyone like, come do a tumwa, please. I didn't have any of that, you know. It was kind of like, should we not? Does it make sense? Does it not? It doesn't. Okay, it must be from God. We have these thoughts. God, just tell me what you want to do. And here's a count where, like, we should be upset, I think, sometimes when we don't get the answer, because God does show up and is like, nope, yes. I'm like, that would be awesome. But it goes on, all right? Because verse 11, from Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace. And then, time out. Some of you are like, that's not how you say that word. And you're English majors, and you know the vocabulary and the phonics and things. But I act confident when I read scripture. I don't know what I'm saying sometimes when I come across those words, but if you believe me, then I'm right. And so, they sailed straight for Samothrace. And the next day we went to Neapolis. From there we traveled to Philippi. A book was written to them later on, the Philippians, a Roman colony in the leading city of that district of Macedonia, and we stayed there several days. I'm thinking this is good. You got these believers who are like, they're missionaries. They're kind of all excited. God's like, no, you want to go there. And so they're like, all right. And they travel and they arrive. And then we have this. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira. That wasn't confident. Oh, no, you're all going to blast me on that one. Named Lydia. A dealer in purple. Lydia, that's a great name for a daughter. I mean, Eden's great, but Lydia, that's cool too, you know. A dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to stay in her home. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay in my house. And she persuaded us. Now, let me unpack a little bit. The woman who sells purple cloth, scholars are all convinced this means she had a great amount of wealth. She had lots of money. And as a person who has tried to start a new ministry, plant a church or whatever, I'm looking at this story and I'm like, that's a great day. You have God tell you what to do already. That's awesome. You show up at a place and you go out and you preach the word and people respond. That's a good day. And not only is it a good day, but some of them are rich people who want you to stay in their big home. And you are like, this is awesome. Have you ever had a day where things are just flying? Have you had that day where, like, everything is clicking, going super well? I've had a lot of days like that lately where I'm like, that's getting done, that's getting done, that's getting done, that's moving. I am like, woo, I'm flying. God, you're so good. And I look at this story and I'm like, man, they are having a flying moment. And sometimes I forget to celebrate God in the flying moments because I'm too busy up in the sky thinking like, this is just great and I'm moving. But can I stop? Time out. If you're in a good spot in life, can you just remember where that good spot came from? It came from Him. Okay? So we need to stop and celebrate in the flying moments. Okay? So I'm flying right now. We're celebrating. Verse 16. Some of you are like, this is not 1 Thessalonians. I don't think he's an honest preacher. We're getting there. Stick with me. Once, when we were going to that place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, these men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the Spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the Spirit left her. Now, I've always been puzzled by this scripture, because isn't she telling the truth? These guys are telling you how to get saved. These guys are telling you how, and she's known for predicting the future. Like, I'm thinking, Paul, run with it, right? I mean, that's how my mind works. But then I started to mess with this a little bit more. Now, this same spirit that is evil and speaking truth has the same ability to, in an instant, change their tune. And so what would happen if Paul, who's like, yeah, see, even she gets it, everyone. And then she goes, and he also wants you to die. Well, time out. Paul's like, the first part's true, the second part isn't. You know, Paul, if he were ever to affirm her message, immediately empowers the spirit to win in that situation. So he's just ignoring it. But can you imagine every single day a demon-possessed woman, which, I mean, we go to too many demon-possessed movies and blah, 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 kick the devil out of the movie theater. Anyways, we got this woman who's just, and Paul's like, enough, I'm annoyed. Leave her in the name of Jesus. And she leaves. That's crazy. That's another good day, is it not? I mean, people are coming to Christ. Some of them have money. The ministry's starting. Demons are getting kicked out of people. This is awesome. And our story continues. When her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city in an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. Time out. What happened to the good day? I mean, they are flying. Demons are getting kicked out. People are believing in Jesus. And all of a sudden, they are stripped and beaten with rods. I read this and I marvel at, like, what happened? In an instant, it went from one of these, woohoo, to, are you kidding me? I mean, if God told them to go to this place, and they went, and everything's going well, and now they're getting beat, do you think they have some questions for God? Because it's easy for us to say, yeah, when things are going good, it's God. What about when it's bad? Can you think about that? Are those God too? They are being beaten with rods. Verse 23. After they had been severely flogged. I can't even fathom. I mean, we just read over it. Yeah, so they were beaten, severely flogged. Get that, whatever that image is, and then get out of it. They got messed up. They were thrown into prison. And the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. These are not prisons or jails like we have. These are ugly. These are underground. Inner cell. Locked. They're beaten. Bleeding. Stripped. And it's at this point, I think they're ready to just, I mean, this is just from my perspective. I'd be like, God, you told us to come here, and this is what happens? You told me to come to these people, and this is how they treat us? You told us to do this, and this is how it's going to be? I would be one to just throw in the towel. Have you ever had those moments where you feel like you are doing everything that God has told you to do and it gets worse? Not only does it get worse, it gets harder and painful. And people, when relationships are involved, have you been in those situations where everyone seems to be against you? It just comes cramping down more and more. And it may not be physical pain, but you have such guttural pain. And you're like, God, I thought I was doing this for you. And I just don't understand. Why is this happening to me? I don't want this anymore. And we just throw in the towel. And we're like, I don't want it anymore. If you're God, I don't want that. Have you been there? Because I have. Last summer, There was a 2-month stretch where I went through a depression. I don't know why. I don't know what led to it. I don't even know exactly what led out of it. I just know there came a point in my life where I was just like, I don't even know what to do anymore, God. I'm sitting here waiting for you and you're silent. I want to love you and yet I don't know what you're doing with my life. I want people to know Jesus and yet it seems like less and less people are knowing Jesus because they're going further and further away. Where are you, Lord? Are you up there? What's going on? Have you had moments like that where your faith has been so rocked because of all your circumstances, you just throw in the towel, you challenge God, you lay in front of Him and you say, I'm done. Have you been in a prison? Have you been in a jail? Maybe not literally, maybe literally. Have you been in that place where you're just locked down on your knees and you're done? Anyone? I just get so defeated. And I look at myself and I wonder, is it ever going to stop raining? Oh, will somebody just cover me? Will somebody somehow, God, will you just, it is pouring around me. I can't take it anymore. I need some shelter. Have you ever wanted an umbrella in life? Where it just gives you a break. I'm quick, all too quick when life is rough. Throw in the towel, to beg for an umbrella, to blame God, to see my circumstances as something that maybe I've done wrong. Let's read on. About midnight, stop. I love that scripture gives us times that, like in the day, early in the morning, late at night, at 3 in the afternoon. Here we have one, midnight. Have you ever been up at midnight looking at the clock? You're stuck in your thoughts, trying to figure out things? You aren't alone. The Bible is so applicable to right now. You're staring at the clock. It's midnight. I have to get up in 6 hours. I don't know what I'm going to do. At midnight, about midnight. What are you doing at midnight in those moments? In your midnight moments, what is your response? How is your faith living out about midnight? Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. They have just been beaten. They have been flogged. They are in shackles. They are in the inner cell, and they're having a Holy Ghost party. What? What? What in the world? They didn't throw in the towel. They're like, yeah. God called us here. This is where we're supposed to be. I marvel at their perseverance, at their labor in the objective of loving God first. The other prisoners are listening, have to be going, what's with the nutters? I mean, right? Who does that? Like, we love you, God. And I'm like, for real? Because them guys, they got hit one too many times. They're off the rocker. But it's so clear that they had already given up all their rights beforehand. They were free when they went in. They were free in there. They are singing. And suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And this is a deep conviction of mine when it comes to worship. When we worship God for who He is instead of what He's done, everything is shaken up. When we worship God for who He is and not for what He's done. Now, granted, He's done marvelous things for us on the cross, has He not? Yes, and He's done great things in providing for our daily needs. But what I'm saying is when we worship God for who He is, for being holy, the earth shakes up. And here we have a literal example. It gets shaken up. I think spiritual things get shaken up. It goes on. At once, all the prisoners' doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. When we worship God for who He is, we get set free. I think in our moments of criticism and skepticism and just being very, very overwhelmed, if our perspective could just be to worship God for who He is, despite our circumstances, we actually might receive some freedom in those moments. Sometimes a refreshing. I love the jailer woke up, and when he saw the prisoner doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. And it is his life, it's their life for his life. You understand? Like if they're gone, he's a dead man. And so he is like, I don't want to die the way they are going to make me die. I'm going to lay on the sword. And you hear, but Paul shouted, don't harm yourself. We're all here. We're all here. The jailer called for the lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they replied, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. In the moment where they had the opportunity to throw in the towel, they decided to stand firm in their faith, knowing that God had called them to love despite whatever came their way. And they hoped that God would deliver them in whatever means He wanted. If that meant to die in the cell, it meant die in the cell. But they were resolute in where they stood. And because of that, an entire household gets saved. An entire prison experiences Jesus. Had they thrown in the towel, would any of that happened? I don't think so. Can I get the towel back? I don't know where it is. Maybe I think I threw it like 48 rows back. You could go hunting. Two. Who threw it forward? No, I'm just kidding. Couple observations. When I am most tempted to throw in the towel, I now have a trigger that is the most opportune time for me to take the towel and throw it over my arm and serve someone. I am understanding that when I get lower and when I am more depressed or when I feel like it's all coming down, that is the time where God is saying, and now I can use you. Now serve. Because that is a testimony. If you can serve out of that, that's great. Anyone can serve when they're flying high and things are going well. But what does it look like to serve like this? Humbly saying, my life is not my own anymore. I already handed it over to Christ. What comes, comes. But right now, may God use me. Are you in a situation right now where it seems rough, daunting, disappointing? Are you discouraged? Could you serve? I'm not saying serve in the church, although that is very appealing to me to have you. Love. Using words. What about this? When it's raining at midnight and you are begging for the umbrella, what would it look like if you chose to grab the umbrella and hold it under someone else? What would it look like? I'm okay. I'm secure in who I am in Christ Jesus, and I can stand here and I can hold the umbrella over someone else. Do you realize that in your raining midnight moments, God is setting you up with an opportunity to have a testimony? And that testimony will either speak of how you trust in God or how you folded. So in these moments, it is so critical that we stand firm in our belief that Jesus Christ is Lord and He's got it all taken care of. And then I believe those who have gone through divorce are so equipped to hold an umbrella for someone else who's going through a divorce. Those who have lost a child are so equipped to hold an umbrella for someone who's lost a child. Those who have lost a loved one, a father, a mother, a brother, or sister, are most equipped to hold the umbrella. Those who have been depressed, beaten down, are able. Those who have had struggles with addiction, those who have been in prison. In prison could be an eating disorder. The prison could be self-hate, could be cutting, whatever it is. Those are the testimonies and stories that you are most empowered to hold the umbrella for someone else. And so in this moment, those who are dealing with pornography, know that other people in here have dealt with pornography and they have overcome and they have conquered and they are willing to hold an umbrella for you. I wonder what testimonies are being created right now in our midst, because I'm guessing some of you, it's raining down really hard. Can I say God is still God in those moments? And God will use those moments to bless someone else. God is setting you up so that you can be a spokesman for his goodness. This is good news. Jailer says, what must I do to be saved? And Paul says, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Is that a good day? He got beaten. Is that still a good day? You bet, because someone said yes to Jesus. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. We have two central verses to the bridge. The first is Acts 1:8, and the second is 1 Thessalonians 1:3. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. After they got out of jail in Philippi, they went to these people in 1 Thessalonians. They got out of jail, said their goodbyes, and went to Thessalonica. And it would be a couple months later, they write these words, we remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. In the account, Paul, Silas, his companions, I believe they just did this. Their faith wasn't intellectual. Their faith wasn't in their mind. It was something they actually did, was it not? God said, don't go there. They didn't go there. God said, go there. They went there. Faith moved them. It propelled them forward. While they were there, they worked with gifts of love. Their labor was prompted by love. And their endurance was inspired by hope. In the cells, they still hoped in the Lord Jesus Christ. This week, I want to encourage you, memorize this verse. We're going to hit it again next week in a different way. This morning was just to whet your appetite and raise these things. When you're flying, are you celebrating? When you're ready to throw in the towel, can you throw it over the arm? And when it's raining down, can you be remembering that story because God's going to ask you to hold it over someone else? The band's going to come forward. And I'm just going to pray over us. I think this is a good word. I don't know. I'm encouraged because it gives me permission to stand in the storm at midnight. God is still God. He does not leave us alone. He is not letting us go through this in vain. He will use it for his glory if we let him. How we pray to you, God, to give us this faith and love and hope that causes people to know Jesus Christ as Lord. These words have so many meanings and they've been twisted in so many ways, but I believe they are action-oriented words. They are words that should propel us into something. So increase in us more faith, more love, more hope. Amen.